Welcome to the March 28th, 2024 episode of Blood Podcast, your source for innovative ideas and cutting-edge information. Our topics are based on articles published in Blood, a journal of the American Society of Hematology. Today, we'll discuss the findings from a study assessing the utility of free light-chain mass spectrometry in AL amyloidosis. Learn more about distinct single-cell RNA sequencing signatures of bone marrow T-cells of AML patients in remission after an allogeneic stem cell transplant, and discuss why von Willebrand factor clearance is critical for the protective effect of ATOM TS13 in mice with sickle cell anemia. We first examined data in the Blood article entitled, "Complete responses in AL amyloidosis are unequal. The impact of free light chain mass spectrometry in AL amyloidosis," by Joshua Baumstick from the National Amyloidosis Center in London, United Kingdom, and colleagues. AL amyloidosis is a clonal plasma cell B cell disorder in which abnormal light chains misfold to form insoluble amyloid fibrils. These fibrils accumulate in multiple organs, particularly the heart and kidneys, leading to progressive organ dysfunction. Since therapies targeting the removal of amyloid fibrils are not available, treatment is focused on managing the amyloid-producing clonal disorder and reducing or eliminating the production of free light chains, or FLCs, which drive the disease. Studies to date have shown that the depth of hematological response is directly correlated with outcomes in AL amyloidosis. Patients who achieve a complete response, and particularly those who are negative for minimal residual disease, have better outcomes. AL amyloidosis is diagnosed and managed based on the assessments from assays that measure serum FLCs. The main limitation of these assays is their inability to directly measure the monoclonal FLC separate from light chains that are part of intact immunoglobulin molecules. The introduction of matrix-assisted laser desorption ionization time-of-flight mass spectroscopy, or MALDI-TOF-MS, for the detection and monitoring of monoclonal proteins has been a major advance in recent years. However, the standard MALDI-TOF-MS assays, again, detect only total light chains, those light chains that are bound to intact immunoglobulins, plus free light chains, and have reduced sensitivity compared to FLC-specific assays. Therefore, their utility in AL amyloidosis is limited. The authors have previously reported a small series of patients analyzed by MALDI-TOF-MS using FLC-specific reagents, also known as FLC-MS, to detect only the presence of monoclonal FLC. In this preliminary study, the authors showed that some of the patients who were in complete remission by standard criteria still showed evidence of a monoclonal light chain by mass spectrometry, consistent with the presence of residual disease. In the current study, the authors report the utility of FLC-MS in serial assessments of patients with systemic AL amyloidosis with long follow-up. The study's main goal was to assess the impact of FLC-MS negativity after treatment on organ response rates and overall survival. The diagnosis of AL amyloidosis was confirmed by a central review of histological material. The study included 487 patients who were treated with bortezomib. All underwent a serial assessment of clonal parameters, organ function, and echocardiography. FLC-MS was used to analyze serum FLCs at baseline and at 6 and 12 months post-diagnosis. The impact of FLC-MS negativity on survival and organ response was assessed and compared to standard hematological responses. Of 487 patients in the study, 59% had cardiac, and 71.5% had renal involvement. At the 6 and 12-month assessments, 16.6% and 20.7% of patients were FLC-MS negative, respectively. Moreover, patients with superior hematologic responses were more likely to be FLC-MS negative, namely 26.4% and 39% of patients who achieved a hematological complete response were FLC-MS negative at 6 and 12 months, respectively. At 12 months, the median overall survival for FLC-MS negative patients in complete response was not reached, while it was 108 months for patients with complete responses who remained FLC-MS positive. FLC-MS negativity also translated into a higher likelihood of organ response at 12 months, namely 70% of FLC-MS negative patients achieved a cardiac response and 38% achieved a renal response. Multivariate analysis revealed that FLC-MS negativity at 12 months was an independent predictor of better outcomes. Specifically, overall survival was better among patients who had a negative compared to positive FLC-MS in three patient populations. 1. All patients regardless of standard hematologic response. 2. Very good partial responders. And 3. Complete hematologic responders. The authors concluded that FLC-MS can detect persistent monoclonal light chains in a significant proportion of patients who are in a conventional hematological complete response, and that FLC-MS assessment may become a new standard for response assessment in AL amyloidosis. In an accompanying commentary, Angela Dispensieri from the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, notes that the study by Bomstick and collaborators presents exciting findings about the newly discovered utility of FLC-MS in diagnosing and monitoring patients with AL amyloidosis. However, Dispensieri also emphasizes several limitations of the study. The first is that the FLC-MS assay used in this study is not currently commercially available, which makes the findings non-applicable in general practice. The second major limitation is that the study does not provide detailed bone marrow data. Therefore, a comparison between bone marrow minimal residual disease and FLC-MS could not be made. Dispensieri concludes that monitoring hematologic response in AL amyloidosis has come a long way from serum protein electrophoresis and immunofixation to nephelometric serum FLCs to total light chain MS assays and, the latest, FLC-MS. Until the FLC-MS assay becomes commercially available, she adds, clinicians can still rely on total light chain-based MS and the nephelometric FLC assays of the blood. Next up, we'll discuss the findings from the Blood article entitled "The Remission Status of AML Patients Post-Allo-SCT is Associated with a Distinct Single-Cell Bone Marrow T-Cell Signature" by Anna Mathayudaki from the European Molecular Biology Laboratory in Heidelberg, Germany, and colleagues. Allogeneic stem cell transplantation, or allo-SCT, remains the only curative therapeutic option for most patients with acute myeloid leukemia. After allo-SCT, donor hematopoietic stem and progenitor cells repopulate the bone marrow, and donor T cells exert both graft versus leukemia and graft versus host disease effects. Immunosuppression is needed to prevent the graft versus host effect. However, it also increases the risk of early relapse after transplantation. Once relapse has occurred, donor lymphocyte infusions are a key component of treatment, but their efficacy is variable, and the biomarkers to assess their anti-leukemic potential are lacking. There is limited knowledge about what contributes to relapse in AML patients post-allo-SCT. While AML-specific characteristics, such as high-risk genetic aberrations, are believed to contribute to immune escape mechanisms, the heterogeneity in outcomes among similar genetic AML groups suggests that other factors are at play, such as donor cell characteristics and immune cell composition. Interestingly, studies to date have found that high CD8-positive and CD34-positive cell doses in the graft are associated with better survival in AML patients. However, little is known about how the composition of donor T cells and HSPCs changes after transplantation. Most studies to date, including those using single-cell RNA sequencing, focused on peripheral blood, even though the bone marrow is the primary location of graft versus leukemia effect. In the current study, the authors aimed to provide an in-depth look at the T-cell composition of the bone marrow to distinguish T-cells of patients who will relapse from T-cells of patients who will achieve long-term remission. They generated single-cell transcriptomes on both marrow-infiltrating CD34-positive progenitors and CD3-positive T-cells to identify T-cell signatures associated with complete response versus imminent relapse. Bone marrow samples were collected from 6 adult patients with AML 100 days after an allogeneic stem cell transplant. Single-cell RNA sequencing was performed on bone marrow T lymphocytes and CD34-positive cells of all 6 patients to identify T-cell signatures associated with either imminent relapse or durable complete remission. Flow cytometry and cell sorting were used to assess the surface expression of CD3, CD4, CD8, CD27, CD33, CD34, CD45RA, CD56, CCR7, and GPR56. The findings revealed a higher frequency of cytotoxic CD8-positive effector and gamma-delta T cells in patients in complete remission compared to those in imminent relapse. Using pseudotime and gene regulatory network analysis, the authors found that CD8-positive T cells of patients who remained in complete remission were more mature and had a stronger cytotoxicity signature, while cells of patients in imminent relapse were characterized by inflammatory TNF NF-kappa B signaling and enrichment in gene products associated with an immunosuppressive environment, namely FOS-JUNE, NF-kappa B signaling pathway, CREM, and NFE2L2, NRF2. Similarly, differential expression analyses in CD8-positive T cells revealed multiple genes in the samples from patients in complete remission linked to effector memory function, including the TBX21 transcription factor and regulon-targeting cytotoxic genes GZMB and KLRG1. Interestingly, ADGRG1, which encodes GPR56, a G-protein-coupled receptor and surface marker, was among these differentially expressed genes. After correlating the expression of GPR56 on the cell surface with increased CD8-positive T-cell differentiation in patients in complete remission, the authors assessed GPR56 as a potential marker of graft versus leukemia activity. Using a co-culture model of the HL60 AML cell line and CD33-directed CAR T cells expressing both CD28 and 4-1BB intracellular signaling domains, the authors demonstrated upregulation of GPR56 upon CAR T cell activation, which was not seen during in vitro CD3-CD28 co-stimulation assays without direct 4-1BB stimulation, implicating the 4-1BB67 signaling pathway in this process. Upon in vitro exposure to matched AML blasts, interferon gamma production was also stronger in GPR56 positive compared to GPR56 alloreactive T cells. Taken together, these data provide a single-cell reference map of bone marrow-derived T cells after allogeneic stem cell transplant, and associate GPR56 expression with successful anti-leukemic cytotoxic effects in the context of graft versus leukemia effects. In an accompanying commentary, Audra N. Innes and Pavan Bakareddy from MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston, Texas, note that the study by Mathiudaki and colleagues identifies GPR56 as a marker of an antigen-experienced, anti-leukemic, CD8-positive T-cell subset that is associated with complete remission after allogeneic stem cell transplant in AML. Using a series of high-throughput sequencing techniques, in vitro cytotoxicity assays, and immunophenotyping, the authors provide a foundation for prospective investigation of GPR56 as a clinically predictive marker of post-stem cell transplant outcomes. The study also raises an important question, namely, whether GPR56 expression of CD8-positive T cells constitutes a marker or is directly a component of effective graft versus leukemia activity. Ines and Baccaretti believe that future studies should focus on 1. Validating these findings in larger clinical cohorts. 2. Analyzing in more depth any previously published molecular graft versus leukemia studies. 3. Investigating GPR56 downregulation as a possible method for immune evasion in AML relapse. And 4. Assessing the utility of single-cell T-cell receptor sequencing for defining leukemia-specific GPR56-positive T-cell responses. In the final part of today's podcast, we will review an article in Blood entitled "Clearance of VWF by Hepatic Macrophages is Critical for the Protective Effect of ADAM-TS13 in Sickle Cell Anemia Mice" by Huiping Shi from the Oklahoma Medical Research Foundation in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and colleagues. Sickle cell anemia, or SCA, is a systemic disease caused by a single mutation in the beta globin gene. Despite its simple genetic etiology, SCA has a complex pathology that is not completely understood. Prior studies have established that the mononuclear phagocyte system plays critical roles in SCA pathophysiology. However, it remains unclear how different populations of macrophages contribute to SCA. Von Willebrand factor, or VWF, is a multimeric glycoprotein secreted by endothelial cells and platelets that is critical for hemostasis. Patients with SCA have been shown to have increased plasma levels of von Willebrand factor, which promotes vaso-occlusive events and thromboinflammation. The activity of von Willebrand factor is mainly regulated by ADAM-TS13, a plasma enzyme that cleaves VWF, leading to its removal from circulation. Higher levels of ADAM-TS13 are associated with protection from vaso-occlusive disease in sickle cell mice. Conversely, reduced cleavage of von Willebrand factor by ADAM-TS13 is thought to increase vaso-occlusion and tissue damage in sickle cell mice, although the underlying mechanisms are not clear. Interestingly, administration of exogenous ADAM-TS13 to sickle cell mice significantly reduces the thromboinflammation associated with sickle cell disease. In the current study, the authors investigate the roles of hepatic macrophages in a humanized mouse model of SCA. Compared to wild-type mice, sickle cell mice had widespread sickle erythrocyte sequestration and inflammatory infiltrates, as well as ischemic and necrotic changes in the liver. A major component of these inflammatory infiltrates were macrophages. They used a combination of single-cell RNA sequencing and spatial transcriptomics to characterize the hepatic macrophage populations in these mice. The authors found that the transcriptomic profiles of hepatic macrophages in sickle mice were strikingly different than those of normal mice, including higher expression of genes contributing to the scavenging function of macrophages and genes related to VWF clearance. Several macrophage populations were increased in the vessel walls of sickle cell mice, including a major population of macrophages expressing markers of Kupffer cells, such as CLEC4F. In the current study, they found that the CLEC4F-positive Kupffer cell-derived macrophages were the most active in clearing cleaved von Willebrand factor from the circulation and in phagocytosing sickle erythrocytes. Interestingly, depletion of these macrophages by intravenous injection of clodronate liposomes not only abolished the protective effect of injected ADAM-TS13, but also exacerbated vaso-occlusive episodes in SCA mice. Conversely, promoting von Willebrand factor clearance by these macrophages reduced vaso-occlusion in SCA mice. Finally, the authors investigated the role of lower molecular weight VWF fragments during vaso-occlusive episodes. In VWF biology, the well-established dogma is that only high molecular weight VWF multimers are important for mediating platelet adhesion at vascular injury sites. However, the authors found that the majority of the VWF detected in the occluded vessels in their model appeared to be shorter forms, and the sickle erythrocytes appeared to bind with high affinity to the lower molecular weight forms. Taken together, these findings demonstrate that hepatic macrophages derived from Kupffer cells are important in the pathogenesis of SCA and reduce tissue damage by scavenging sickle erythrocytes and VWF in sickle mice. In addition, the protective effects of ADAM-TS13 in SCA mice depended on the successful clearance of cleaved von Willebrand factor by these CLEC F4-positive hepatic macrophages. In an accompanying commentary, Rinku Majumdar and Mohamed Mohamed from the Louisiana State University Health Sciences Center in New Orleans, Louisiana, note that she and colleagues demonstrate the importance of hepatic macrophages in the clearance of ADAM-TS13 cleaved von Willebrand factor in sickle cell anemia mice. They also comment on the findings in the study that reveal a new pathological activity of the lower molecular weight von Willebrand factor, whereby the resulting short fragments of von Willebrand factor adhere to erythrocytes, and insufficient phagocytosis of these fragments contributes to the aggressiveness of vaso-occlusive episodes in SCA. Overall, the study demonstrates that targeting hepatic macrophages and promoting VWF clearance may be a novel therapeutic option for SCA. For a list of additional authors, as well as more detailed articles and commentaries on which this podcast is based, please go to bloodjournal.org. Be sure to join us next week for another episode of Blood Podcast. Thank you for listening.